broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas, locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Keith Peters. Officials up and down the U.S. East Coast are preparing for Tropical Storm Isaias as it continues its slow progression. President Trump is urging vigilance in the mid-Atlantic and northeast as the storm moves northward.
Over the next several days, there's expected to be heavy wind and rain in the coastal areas of North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and New Jersey. We're working with each of those states.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says high winds, inland flooding, and downed power lines may be in the forecast.
This storm threatens our coastline with storm surge and damaging winds. But the inland areas are also at risk. Be prepared for a lot of rain, as much as 7 inches in some places.
President Trump is again warning about mail-in balloting as he claims Nevada's move to adopt statewide mail-in voting is illegal.
Nevada state lawmakers have passed a bill to mail active voters ballots ahead of the November election amid the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump slammed the move on Twitter, calling the bill's passage an illegal late-night coup. And he accused the governor of exploiting COVID-19 to ensure votes in Nevada would favor Democrats. Greg Clugston, Washington.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says negotiations on a new coronavirus relief bill continue.
It was productive. We're moving down the track. We still have our differences. We are trying to have a clearer understanding of what the needs are.
But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says top Democrats refuse to budge from their demands.
The Speaker of the House and the Democratic leader are continuing to say our way or the highway. With a massive wish list for left-wing lobbyists that slopped together a few weeks ago called a coronavirus bill.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 236 points, the NASDAQ rose 157, the S&P advanced 23. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
It's 4:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. With the start of a new month, Governor Sisolak has extended several COVID-19 emergency directives, including limits on the size of public gatherings and half-capacity restrictions on indoor businesses. The governor's order extends the directives until further notice. Last Monday, he continued the closure of bars in several Nevada counties, including Clark and Washoe. Meanwhile, the state is changing the way it assesses trends involving COVID-19. The new framework is being rolled out this week and will reportedly involve enhanced enforcement and the next steps to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. Today at 5 p.m., Governor Sisolak will hold a press conference to provide an update on Nevada's COVID-19 response. We will air that conference live at 5 right here on AM 670 KMZQ. Well, the Nevada legislature's second special session spent the weekend working with the state senate approving a bill which would allow mostly mail-in elections in November. The vote was 13-8, with every Republican voting against the measure, voicing concerns about the risks of fraud and the delayed counting of ballots. In an earlier testimony on Assembly Bill 4, Secretary of State said there were no complaints of fraud in June.
KMZQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Now we're getting some congestion there on the Beltway, 215 westbound at Green Valley. Those lane restrictions are clogging things up there. Also slow, 215 eastbound at St. Rose. And look out for a crash on the right shoulder. That's Interstate 15 north at Spring Mountain.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by SRT Special Services. In the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Now, if your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That number again, 702-221-1942. 221-1942. Ask him about the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. It was not a good weekend in Carson City. In fact, if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, it was a disastrous weekend. And a guy that had to sit through all of it because he's a state senator from Nevada District 18, my friend Scott Hammond. Scott, first of all, tell me how bad it was.
Well, we did see several different votes come out, several different bills, mining bills, election law bills. We're waiting around. We went through Dieter last night. The Dieter bill came out. It dropped. I think we had a hearing at 6:30, and the people who most needed to see the language didn't even see it until 3:30 in the afternoon. So we spent the better part of the first, we were there from 6:30 to 11 o'clock last night just asking about the bill, making sure we understood what the bill was going to do and not do, what was in it that needed to, what was out of it that should have been in it. So it was just a shaky time. And and I'm not casting dispersions on the content of all the bills or the work that we do. I'm just saying that the process isn't exactly fluid, folks. I mean, whenever you come up to a special session, you really want to get out of here within 72 hours. But, you know, here we are 4 days into it, and we don't even have all the bills that they want us to look at. There's still one bill out there, and we saw one of them last night. So we're not exactly, running on all cylinders here.
You had a 12-day session, the first special session, that should have been done in about 3 days. It took 12 days. These are the guys that can't shoot straight, I swear. They're just awful. I want to ask you, though, about AB4, because this is what has everybody just absolutely tied up in knots down here in Clark County, and it involves the vote. Can you talk a little bit about what they did and what it's going to mean in November?
Yeah, sure, I can. First of all, when people talk about it, I really hope that folks who don't like it really understand it and are able to talk to the finer points. One, when they talk about an all mail-in ballot, it's not exactly an all mail-in ballot, but basically what they're going to do is they're going to send ballots out to everybody. But that doesn't mean that that's the only way you can vote. They put provisions in there that allow you to bring your ballot to one of the polling places, show them that you had a ballot. But if you want to vote in person, you'll be able to do that. They're going to set up all the polling places they possibly can as well. Having said that, the egregious parts of this, and there are still a few out there, the ballot harvesting, allowing people, like, you know, campaign staffers, if you will, to go out to a senior citizens center or a home and say, okay, how many people would need help filling out their ballots, you know, putting the circles, you know, dotting or filling in the circles, and then, you know, folding the envelopes and putting your name on the outside, and then taking, you know, then taking it somewhere. Somebody will be able to do that. You know, somebody might, you know, it used to be just somebody who was in the immediate family could actually take a bunch of ballots like that and then take them down and then put them in a ballot. Or take them down to a center or something like that and put them in the mail or whatever. Now anybody would be able to do that. That to me and to many others and to many of those people out there who've been emailing me, that's the really egregious part. I mean, it just opens it up for a lot of fraud. And I know that, you know, you got people out there, political pundits, saying, you know, there was no fraud in the last election. You know, Secretary of State Psaki said there was, according to her knowledge, no evidence of fraud. That might be, and I'm not saying that, but, it, you know, that's apples and oranges, because it wasn't as if they had ballot harvesting in the last election, you know. But one of the things that was pointed out by my colleague, Senator Pickard, was that, you know, they only have one person who can actually go out there and investigate that. So it's not like they have all the resources in the world to find out and track down things like that. So, it, you know, that's definitely a concern. Maybe if they got more people to actually follow through with some of these or collect more evidence, maybe we would find out that there was some fraud. But, you know, the fact is it's different, right? We didn't have the ballot harvesting that we're talking about. So when someone tells me that they have, you know, the same thing that we set up the other day in AB4 in Idaho and Utah and other states, it's not exactly the same. Yes, the other ones do these where they send up the ballots, but they don't have the ballot harvesting that they're talking about. That has been something that has been in our, you know, standard for a long time. We just don't do it. You know, and I believe that was brought up by a couple of my other colleagues who have been here for a while. It was Chris Giuncheliani who actually put that in there when she made sure it was just, you know, immediate family that was able to do that. So that's the biggest concern that we have out there. And, of course, money. It's going to cost a lot more money. I think that the amount that came up was $4 to $5 million more, and which is, you know, a lot of money when you're talking, you know, when everybody's talking about how we should be taxing a bunch of other entities and industries, $4 to $5 million more in certain areas. Well, that could be a huge amount.
Well, let me ask you. Let me just ask you. So, where are you going to find the money? We were $1.2 billion short. You closed the gap in the first special session. So, where's this money going to come from?
Oh. The governor he's holding on to a whole bunch of CARES Act money, and he's putting it where he needs to, those pet projects, and this is going to be one of those that receives money.
And they've got the $4 to $5 million?
Yep. I can't remember exactly where we're at, but I think that he still has, you know, well in excess of $100 million somewhere. There's still money that the county should be given. You know, they should have been given that money a long time ago, but he's kind of holding on to it and making sure that they comply with his directives and doling it out as if he's got control over all that.
Let me just ask you, and this is kind of important. The President of the United States tweeted out today that maybe litigation is needed relative to this election stuff. Can you talk about, is the President one of the people you were talking about earlier that might not quite understand what's in the bill?
No, I don't know what the president knows or doesn't know. I saw the tweet. I'm just saying that when people email me and say that, you know, I want to vote in person, the ability to vote in person is still there. You know, it is there. So people need to kind of go through and make sure they understand that it doesn't preclude you from going in person and doing it. It basically sets up a whole system where everybody will still get a mail-in ballot. So there's going to be a lot of those mail-in ballots running around. The post office is going to have to handle it. apartment complexes will get a lot of letters that nobody lives there anymore. It'll be stacking up. I mean, all those things that happened before will happen again. But it still allows you to take your own ballot and go in. You know, my biggest complaint about the whole thing last time when we did the primary mail-in ballot was the fact that you had to sign it on the outside. I didn't feel comfortable doing that, and I don't know how many other people will be comfortable, but you will be able to hand-deliver it to some places as well still, so you don't have to go through the mail system.
One of the other criticisms is that it might take a while to find out winners and losers on an election night. It might be election week. Do you see that as a potential problem?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it could take 2 weeks, you know, when you're talking about that many ballots coming in. And the other thing is, in addition to that, the number of people who signed their ballots and then they didn't count because it matched the signature that was on record. And I know that people will point to that and say, see, that we can catch the fraud. But in reality, it might have been off by a little bit. And, you know, somebody who thought they participated in the election and had cast a vote for their candidate, it is not counted, you know. And I think we had somewhere between 7,000 to 10,000, if I'm not mistaken, in the state, ballots that weren't counted, that is, because for whatever reason they couldn't match the signature. So that's a concern as well.
So is there anything in the bill that can correct that? They're talking about District 12 in New York, where thousands of votes are being disqualified. Now, signature doesn't match. Sorry, you're out. Throw it out. And who's the one throwing this stuff out? Is this covered at all in the bill?
I believe that, yeah, they have some of the stuff in the bill. I don't know if it gets down to that kind of detail because, you know, as you know, I think there's a Register of Voters who actually has your signature on record. And so I had several friends already ask me what they should do. And I said, well, make sure that you have, go check and make sure they have the signature that's most up to date because, you know, sometimes your signature changes a little time, you know, your hand gets a little shakier, you had surgery on a hand or whatever, and now you do sign things left-handed or whatever. So make sure you have an updated signature. That'd be my advice. But that still is a concern.
Joining us, Scott Hammond, the state senator, District 18. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what the governor is going to be doing about 45 minutes from now. He's going to be speaking to the state about COVID-19. Will they let you folks watch it, or are you folks going to be on the floor at the time?
We have no idea right now. We are waiting for the fourth and final bill to come out. There's several iterations. We were looking at one earlier, one draft of it, but we're still waiting for the next draft. And then, of course, there's going to be There's a lot of people involved in this last bill, the liability bill. And so I think they're going to wait and make sure they get a lot of sign off from a lot of different entities before we, bring this one to the Senate. We may not even hear this one until tomorrow. I have no clue whatsoever. And one last thing before you go to the break. For those of you who want to know if we could have corrected some things in the bill, talking about AB3, the election one, when we came into this session, they actually passed new rules that do not allow us to actually bring amendments to any of the bills that were coming. All the amendments had to go through the majority leader. So there you go.
Sounds like a one-way street. More coming up with State Senator Scott Hammond as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ.
Fauci is no optimist. We are living right now through a historic pandemic outbreak. We do not see any particular end in sight.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year, with membership starting as early as the following month, and there are no contracts and no commitments. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there's no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance, so your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you.
You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall, or call 855-58-LIBERTY.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Planning for retirement can be a daunting task. Two of the biggest mistakes you can make are failing to save and failing to plan. Here to shed some light on this is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta.
Yeah, and Steve, this is a big one because it's not just saving, because a lot of people are saving, doing a real good job, but have no idea what's going to happen with that savings when they need it the most. And to me, it's what we call the financial red zone. Age 52 and above, if we have a nice balance in the 401k, especially if we're in a 60, Steve, we need to make sure that we see what that balance is going to do for us in the future. In other words, what kind of income can we get on the balance we have? Because why are we saving money? Because companies have taken pensions away, so we're having to save for our own pension, otherwise known as the 401k, the 403b, and the thrift savings plan, or on our own in IRAs, or on our own outside of our IRAs. We have lump sums, but the main confusion I see across America is people do not know what that lump sum can translate to as far as a lifetime income strategy. Putting away the lump sum, making sure it grows when you're not needing it, make sure it's protected from going back down. It's great to have a lump sum, Steve. It's horrible to watch that lump sum dissipate, disappear, not be there when you need it the most. And we need to make sure we have a lifetime income plan built into our retirement strategy. You don't have a retirement plan unless you have that lifetime income plan. If you have a balance in a 401k over $100,000, if you're over 55, now's the time to get started. Steve, I'm going to waive our planning fee for the next 10 people who call. We'll put together for you your very own 205-minute retirement plan. We call it the total retirement plan. It'll take 205 minutes of your life. We'll do a lot more work on the backside, but then you'll have a lifetime income you can never outlive and take the worry out of living in retirement.
That sounds great, Coach. Just call 888-702-6932. That's 888-702-6932. Or simply text VEGAS to 21000. That's VEGAS to 21000.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada registered financial advisor.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. A lot of lawyers promise a lot of things. No fee unless we win. The consults are free. Of course they offer that stuff. All lawyers do that. But will they promise not to take more money than you at the end of your case? No. When you call me, that answer's yes. I'll never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
Call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell.
More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by Bye Bye Fungus Antifungal Serum. It's so unique and so effective that a patent's been issued by the U.S. government. Call 800-258-3635. That's 800-258-3635. Say bye-bye fungus and hello sandals. And another great sandals day. Scott Hammond joining us. No sandals, no shorts, no Tommy Bahama shirts, because they're in the 32nd special session. And of course, Scott Hammond, state senator, Nevada District 18. The governor's going to speak at 5 o'clock. You have a feel for what he's going to come up with?
Not really. As you can imagine, they don't disclose anything to us prior, but I guess I do have a little bit of a feeling. I think it's going to have some more direction, especially with schools opening up, kind of give some thoughts to the school setting and what schools should be looking for. I think giving them some more direction would be good. That's all I know for sure. I'm sure he might even address the election bill that was passed, maybe a couple of things that we're in the middle of doing. I know he hasn't signed much yet.
Let me just ask you, is there anything out there on what they're going to come up with as far as criminal justice, racial justice?
Well, we did. We passed two bills. You know, in the bill that they came out of the assembly, where they talked about no choke holds except for in certain dire situations. I mean, the bill was, you know, it was a good step. Nobody is refuting the fact that we can't always continue to clean up sort of the contract between the citizens and the police force that you know, that police the citizenry. I mean, there's always little things that you can do in ways to make sure that there's a good symbiotic relationship between the two. So we did that. We took those steps. The police were involved in it. At least that's about the only bill I can really say that during this session that the stakeholders on both sides really had a say in helping craft that legislation. Can't really say that with the Dieter bill, with the Dieter folks who really could have helped out to understand exactly what was in it. They weren't involved. The election bill, the Secretary of State's office didn't see it until like an hour or two before it dropped. So really, they have not done a very good job of reaching out and talking to folks. But in this case, the police did have some say in it. The bill that from the last session, the Cannizzaro bill, and I can't remember the name of it now, SB 2 something, that was the bill that was they wanted to completely repeal. It did not get completely repealed. There was testimony taken after we had the hearing on the bill with both, you know, right-leaning folks and left-leaning folks, all of them resoundingly unhappy with that particular bill. Why they're even dealing with it, I don't know. But the kind of bill that we're looking at, for the most part, things that we could have waited till February 4, which is what we've said over and over again, about the only thing that really warranted us being here with the Dieter bills and with the liability bill that we'll be hearing pretty soon. Those are the only two things, and quite frankly, you know, the liability we should have handled in the first session. And if we could have done that in 3 or 4 days instead of 12, we probably would have got to it.
Let me just ask you, the criminal justice bill, was there any talk at all, or did they even get close to dealing with defunding the police?
No, not really. No, there was no talk of it. You know, most of the funding to the police goes to the counties, so the counties already have it. You know, it'd be up to the counties to do that. So there was no real talk about that. I think we've gotten to the point where we know what needs to be done. You know, it's really about how many times we keep putting bad cops out there and having a process that allows us to remove those bad cops. And I think we're getting closer to talking about that and being more serious about it. Much like, you know, good teachers and bad teachers. You know, I was in a classroom for years, and I think every teacher in every school knows who that teacher is that shouldn't be in the schools for whatever reason. And if we could ever get to that point where we're, you know, able to, you know, make sure that those teachers are not there, those bad cops are not there, I think it's good for the public.
Unlike the first special session, there is a time limit on this one, and that is August 7th at 12 midnight. How much else is there on your plate beyond what you're dealing with during this second special session, and will there be a third?
No, please don't do that. I don't think there's going to be a third. No, I think we're safe. There won't be a third. I can't ever say never, but I don't think there'll be a third at this point. You know, we really on our plate is really just that last bill. That's the liability issue, which will be SB4 when it comes out. That's the only thing we have left on our plate. The rest of it is this process, you know, making sure the bills that have already been introduced and heard continue along the path. You know, so that's it. That's about it.
No, but so they're of the seven issues that the governor wanted covered, all of them are going to be done before August 7th. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that we're on track to be done by Friday. We might even wrap up by, you know, with any luck, Wednesday, depending on this last bill. If it comes out today, we can have a hearing on it today. Well, they'll demand a hearing today, whether we're ready for it or not. And then, you know, but if it comes out tomorrow, we're talking Thursday. But I don't see us not getting done by Friday.
Let me ask you on an education front. Jesus Jara survived a Board of Trustees meeting that ended rather abruptly. Where do you come down on Jesus Jara? The governor says he lied. Joni Ebert said that he lied. The principals union says he's got to go. Where are you on Jesus Jara?
Well, I think it all comes back to this AB2 from the previous session, the one that would have taken money from the school site and given it to CCSD. So it was over a takings bill, if you will. A lot of these principals had budgeted conservatively and done what we've asked them to do, right? Make sure you put some money away, you know, for things. And they've done a tremendous job. And so he was talking about taking that. Now, having said that, remember, in this, just a second ago, you